Good evening. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Thank you for the portion, Vijay. Honestly speaking, I sat there so that I would not come here. So if I say this, say that in my home, I will get a rebuke. Don't you trust God? Okay. I did get rebuked this evening. I said that. This is a great thought that I was thinking about it, which Apostle Peter writes. We would never want to buy anything that is not qualified and certified, isn't it? People run after quality on this earth, and they approve of the quality, and they test it, and they exalt the quality. Even so, God is. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, and if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here, Apostle Peter is talking about the trials that God would put us through. And it is not we who ourselves are in trials. And it is that which is invested by God is in the trials. And that which is invested by God is the very faith that we have. I think Pastor Brian spoke about it a couple of Sundays back. The faith of the Son of God and the obedience and the love of God. And in the midst of these trials, that which is tested is what we have received through the preaching and teaching and in our study from the scriptures. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 defines faith as: faith is the substance of things that we hope for and evidence of things that we have not seen. And the first part is the subjective, that which is worked in our hearts, or objective, that which is worked in our heart. And the second part is that which is external, the evidence of things that we have not seen. And the word, if need be, and it is really interesting that Apostle Peter would put that condition, if necessary. The word necessary in the Greek language is a place where you are put in under imposition. It is a tight place, and it is not a place that we would voluntarily choose for ourselves. And it is the place that God has brought us through. And it is, if need be, is the possible necessity that has been established by the counsel and the decree of God, especially the eternal purpose of God. And this is what God has ordained for me. And it is the possible necessity that has been planned by the perfect plan of God. Sometimes God wants us to go through so that what is worked in us would be brought out. The Greek word here for the word temptation is pirasmos, and however you want to pronounce it. It speaks about an attempt, number one, or it is a trial, or it is an experiment, or it is a test, or it is an adverse situation that I am in, or it is a trouble, if I want to call that, or if it is an affliction, or it is a situation that has been allowed by God so that the virtue Number one, the integrity. Number two, that which is invested in me by God would be brought out and approved. And Apostle Peter could write this. And the word pirasmos is used in 20 times in the New Testament. And the two places that really caught my attention is, one is in Acts chapter 20 verse 19, where Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders when he is leaving Ephesus. And he says there, I served the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and the trials. So we can even say that it is not without this that God can actually carry on with his sanctificational work in our lives. God is not interested in a superficial work in our lives. God is interested in a quality work in our lives. And Apostle Paul is saying, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears. And he could say, as a pastor, to these elders, and temptations because of the plot of the Jews. But that which is the plan of the enemy here is used by God as a trial for our lives, so that the virtue and the integrity that has been worked in our lives by the word of God would be brought as a testimony in the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. And Apostle Paul is using that, and then he is bringing the warning to the elders. The second place where that caught my attention is Jesus Christ himself uses. And he uses this word exactly after Judas leaves. And it is recorded that way in the book of Luke. And Luke chapter 22 verse 28. And Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples that now that all you withstood me in my temptations. And they were with Christ during the trials. That's what Jesus Christ says. In the Gospel of Mark, when the disciples were appointed, and Mark beautifully puts it in this way, when the 12 disciples' names are mentioned, and Jesus Christ prays, and he appoints these 12 disciples for two reasons. It is beautiful that they would be with him, and he would send them out. He appointed all the names of the disciples that they would be with him, and then he would send them out. It is not the second, cannot happen without the first. And Jesus Christ is saying here, you stood with me in my temptations. And Jesus Christ also says that you will eat and drink in my table in his kingdom and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And the same word is used in Luke chapter 22 verse 28. And that which is planned by the enemy is also used by God in a dual way, so that the just like how it happened in the life of Job. That which was the plan of the enemy in the first few verses of the first chapter of the book of Job, but it was used by God so that God can be glorified. I like what Pastor Stephen says when he talks about Job. God would never give a permission in a believer's life unless and until he is going to be glorified if the enemy is involved. So we cannot say that this is the trial that was allowed by God so that God took me out of his will, because God is not the author of confusion. And his plan is perfect plan. And God would never allow enemy in our lives so that we would not walk in the kingdom of God. That is what our God is. Maybe I can blame God and I can say whatever I want to say, but God would never give permission to the enemy so that I wouldn't walk away from God. If God allows something in my life, it would be for one reason, that he would be glorified through the investment that God has done, so that our faith would be approved. And And here Apostle Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice. And the same thing is what mentioned by Apostle James. In James chapter 1 verse 13, he says that God is not the author of temptation. God never devises any situation so that he would tempt us in order to go away from his will. And God's plan is not the plan of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14:33, but it would be for one reason, so that our faith would be approved. And when we know that it is that situation, so our meditation becomes even more intense and our lives becomes even more meaningful. And Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and there is going to be a day that is going to come and people would not endure the sound doctrine. And can we read that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they would accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to the myth. But you be sober in all things. The word sober there is talking about a sense of purpose, knowing that God has put me, if need be, God has put me in this place for a reason and for a cause. Be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come, and I have fought the good fight of faith, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And this is what Apostle Paul is doing. And if you notice that in the life of Peter, there came a point in time where the enemy was interested in Peter. That happened in Matthew chapter 16 and also in Matthew chapter 17. And it was very evident in Matthew chapter 16 when Christ mentioned the cross, and Peter comes out and says that thou shalt not go. And Jesus Christ says, get thee behind me, Satan, for you have set your mind on the interest of men, but not on the interest of God. And that is very evident in the life of Peter, where Peter is totally against the cross. And there is another place which is not that much evident, but still he is against the cross, is in Matthew chapter 17. And it is also recorded in Luke chapter 9. At the time of glorification, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Christ was transfigured, and the three apostles were, it happened exactly after 6 days, and they were up in the mount. And when Elijah and Moses were with Christ, and they were talking about the departure. Could we please turn to Luke chapter 9? I want to bring in this thought in the light of the faith that we would have. It says in Luke chapter 9 verse 28, some 8 days after these things, he took Peter, James, and John and went up on the mount to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure. And it is very clear that in the previous verses that Christ has already set his face towards Jerusalem. And before this, the instant that he mentioned about the cross, and Peter was against. And here, they were talking about the plan of God. The plan of God is the cross. And they were talking about cross. And look at what Peter says. They were talking about the departure of Christ, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but they were fully awake, and they saw his glory, and the two men were standing with them. And these were leaving him, and Peter said, they were talking about the departure. And Peter is going to talk about their stay here. This is the second time. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Look at the next phrase. He was saying these things, not realizing what he was saying. And then the words came from heaven, saying that, this is my son, my chosen one, him. He listened to him. When we are put in that place, if need be, and if it is the necessary that God has put, that which is tested in our life is the meekness that is worked in our lives. Meekness is basically me agreeing with the plan of God, where God has perfected for my life. But if you notice that the life of Peter was not in perfect agreement with the plan of God. May it be in Matthew chapter 16 when he mentioned about the cross, or when the two of them were talking about the departure. And his plan is totally opposite to the plan of God. They were talking about the departure, but he was talking about the tabernacle. But one thing that the heaven had to say is, can you please keep quiet and listen to God? And Romans chapter 10 says, our faith is sourced in the words of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And Apostle Peter is saying something, and he was not even realizing, he was not even aware of what he was saying. And it is not our plan will get us through in those times. And that which is tested is our faith. And it is the word of God in our lives. And it is our fellowship with God will get us through. And that is what approved. And I think one scholar said about that chapter, according to the law of God, Apostle Peter is right. It is the feast of booth, and you can talk about Christ to be the king, and you can talk about the millennium booth and all those things. But Peter was not right according to the grace of God, because he missed out the cross. And it is what happened in John chapter 8 also. What must I do? And everybody was according to the law perfectly all right. We have to stone. But they missed out the cross, and they were totally wrong. And if it is not the cross, I could be religiously right. I could be, according to the law, I could be blameless. But if I miss out the cross, and I'm missing out the plan of God. And cross of Christ is the plan for our lives. That is what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16. If anyone that wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and pick up the cross and follow me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word in our lives. And it is not we almost agree. And it is that we are completely convinced that we cannot do away with your word. And we cannot do away with your word in our fellowship with you. And it is the same thing that you said in Matthew chapter 4. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it is your word that is our source of faith. And it is the faith in that which is tested. And it results in praise, honor, and glory. And thank you for your sanctificational work. And thank you for the boundary that you have placed us in, so that we can hear the word. And it is the boundary of your body. And thank you so much for redeeming our lives. And we are thankful. And bless this evening, and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen.